Go ahead.
Okay, I call the meeting to order. Thank everybody for coming and spending their lovely Monday evening with us. There's nothing on television anyway, so you don't have to worry about it. Approval of December 6th.
So moved.
Minutes. Second.
Second.
Additions, deletions, corrections, misspellings, or anything? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Jay always does a wonderful job. I'm going to take a couple of resolutions out of order. Of course, I have them out of order, so bear with me. I'm going to do 35. Sorry about that.
Oops, sorry.
35,
36, and 37, because they all deal with the department probation. So I can just move some folks along a little bit. 35, motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Any questions, anyone?
Does anyone speak on it?
Do you have any? Does anybody have a question?
Wait, hold on. I'm just trying to find it. Sorry. Woodstock?
Family of Woodstock. That's our. That funds the Evolve program.
Okay. This one's Evolve.
Yeah.
For 35. Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Very good. Thank you. 36. Motion.
Moved.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Any questions?
So which program is this one? This is
The other one is the
number 36.
The 180 program. That's the one that we do. It's a juvenile diversion program that offers programming to actually even divert them from probation. We do it in conjunction with, you know, obviously, the Family of Woodstock.
Got it.
Juvenile accountability.
Yeah, we probably have it in the opposite order in our packet. So
I have them mixed up.
No, that's okay, though. Okay. It's still all good.
That's the two, though.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And 37. You know, I'm sorry, I should have read it. Approving the execution of contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Alcohol Monitoring Systems, Inc., Department of Probation. Move.
Move.
Second.
Okay, discussion, or I'm sorry, questions?
Just how many people actually are in this program right now?
Right now we have 16. Yeah, that sounds about
16.
Right.
So we have 16.
It varies between 10 and 20 at any given time. What this is, though, is it would be we're looking for a new vendor this year. We went to RFP last year because the vendor that we were using, their software, was just horrendous, and we ended up having to put everybody on GPS, which is more costly than regular electronic monitoring, so we want to move to a new vendor, which will allow us to do the home frequency monitoring if the risk level doesn't rise to the level of needing a GPS unit.
So. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good. Okay. We'll go to 25, Resolution 25, confirming appointment of member of the Traffic Safety Board.
Move.
Second?
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, cool. 26, authorizing chairman of the Elsa County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with various municipalities for the operation of USERT, Ulster County Emergency Response Team, Ulster County Sheriff.
Move
it. Second.
Okay.
Discussion, questions? Hector.
Okay. So, Sheriff, where are you? There you are. It's like a sea of uniforms. I'd make sure I find you. So, so tell us a little bit more about, I guess, with each individual, I guess, piece of USERT, because it came up in caucus as a question. So,
what do you mean by each individual?
Well, I mean,
member?
And what are they? You know, like, what is USERT sort of? Why don't you just kind of break it down as to what number one, what USERT does, and then what each of the components of USERT are.
Each component, every member is a component of the team. It's a special weapons, mm-hmm, tactics and train group. We respond when there's something that overwhelms regular patrol. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trained to do. Team's been in existence since 1999, through the sheriff's office, specifically since 2009. We have 22 trained members on the team, and we respond to barricaded subjects, armed suspects, active shooters. When we had active shooters in New Paltz at the mall.
Okay, so I guess how often, I guess, is the team sort of deployed?
Just
every...
In the last 3 years, we've had 17 call-outs.
Okay, and just varying degrees of just what is a hostile situation and
hostile situation, armed barricade that's going to require negotiations, mm-hmm. tactics to get in, special entry tools, mm-hmm. you know, where there's a threat of life or a threat of use of firearms, that would be why we're called.
I mean, do you guys, forgive me for my ignorance, but, you know, do you guys have like snipers and that kind of stuff?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yep. Sniper element, entry teams, advanced tactical medics.
So there was 17 this past, oh no, sorry, past 3 years, right, you said?
Past 3 years, yeah. Okay. Last year we were called out 4 times.
Okay.
Other questions? Tracy?
Well, another question that came up in caucus had to do with the financial impact, and I don't know if this was shared mm-hmm. for you.
This would be for me.
And it says that there's no financial impact, but
correct.
We saw that all this equipment's provided. Is that on a loan basis, or how?
Our regular equipment comes out of our equipment line. That's already been budgeted, so there's no impact to anything special that comes out of. We take it right out of our equipment purchase.
But the team members, so team, if you're equipping
agencies
a team
supply
member.
Their own members with the gear that they have. Outside agencies supply that equipment to their members.
Oh, okay. So the team members that's referred to in terms of the equipment, C1.
Sheriff's Department members
sheriff's
are
department
issued.
Only.
Right, our Sheriff's Department members are issued Sheriff's Department equipment.
So
we're
not
the other equipment
outfitting the others.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. Number 27, authorize the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with various municipalities for the operation of urgent Ulster regional gang enforcement narcotics team. Ulster County Sheriff, move it, please.
Move.
Second. Okay. Discussion, questions? Hector.
Okay, thank you. So, Sheriff, this was one I think that we probably had more discussion in caucus about, and you know, I think part of this is based off of what we sort of just see on the outside, basically from the press releases that we're getting. I mean, the most notable ones that, you know, that we've seen have been obviously the stuff you guys were doing in New Paltz and Saugerties, Esopus, I guess, where there was a bunch of prostitution stings. I guess some of it is going back to just narcotic sales, which, of course, that's something I know that Urgent's taking very seriously. But I guess part of our question is it's been sort of just, you know, what is Urgent? What's Urgent focusing on? When we sort of read a bunch of prostitution things, it's more like, well, is there a gang component to this? Is there some deeper, you know, drug stuff that you guys are kind of going after? It just became more of a thing of just like, what's going on here? So. Oh, and there's Abe.
So, good evening, everyone. For those who do not know me, I'm Abe Markowitz. Until very recently, I was the supervisor of Urgent. So that's why I'm here to speak intelligently as to any questions you have about our operation or why we're doing one thing or another. As far as the investigations that we did towards the end of the year into prostitution and other offenses, I would start with, I'll give you the short answer and then I will give you a more detailed answer. The short answer is they are also crimes and they are not actively investigated by any other unit within the sheriff's office and probably within the county. We have a policy about vice and organized crime investigations, although it does not specifically name Urgent as the principal investigators of those offenses, that policy was written before Urgent existed. Urgent, as a unit, is the most qualified and equipped and trained unit to conduct vice and undercover, other types of undercover investigations. We have the equipment, we have the training, we have the experience. So that is the short answer. The longer answer as to why these were done is, to begin with, specifically with the Blue Moon in New Paltz, another location in the town of Lloyd, the location in the town of Esopus, these were specific locations that were brought to us by way of complaints either by sheriff's members or the members of Urgent from the municipalities that they represent. For example, the New Paltz Police's representative to Urgent said, hey, we've been getting complaints about Blue Moon, that there is drug activity moving through the location. So, along those lines, it is my position that vice offenses, drug offenses, and organized crime are invariably linked together. Where you have vice, you will have, more than likely, you will have some kind of drug activity, and where you have drugs, you ultimately will have organized crime. I believe, as was adequately demonstrated over the last couple of years, where we, when we did Blood Clot, Operation Blood Clot. Is there anybody not familiar with Operation Blood Clot? Okay.
Well, actually, you know, actually, why don't you explain that real quick, if you can,
Blood Clot, in essence, the Cliff Notes version of Blood Clot was it was approximately a little less than two year investigation we did in Urgent with the state police, with Homeland Security, numerous other localities, as well as our counterparts in Dutchess County and in the Southern District of New York federally, that targeted a multi-jurisdictional and at this point multinational drug distribution network, principally heroin and cocaine. Over the course of the time of that investigation, we purchased cumulatively kilograms of cocaine, heroin, firearms, diverted pharmaceuticals, etc., leading up to a raid on October 13th of last year, which culminated in approximately, I want to say it was about 46 plus or minus arrests in Ulster County alone. There were another 15 to 20 conducted in Dutchess County, which was sort of a piggyback operation to ours. Our information we obtained during our operations, our investigation, allowed them to initiate investigations on other targets that major targets in the Dutchess County and those areas. I can't say too much about it, only because it's still an ongoing investigation and prosecution, but what I can tell you is that as of this point, this operation has reached an international level. We, because of the work we did in this case, we have potentially some inroads to the actual suppliers in the drug trade or drug trafficking organizations in Mexico, and that's something that's still underway at a much higher level at this point. But going back to those operations, those are the principal reasons. Now, having said that, in the operation on the establishment in the town of Esopus, there is a money laundering component that we are investigating. Essentially, any money that they take in, because their entire operation is illegal, is money that ultimately goes somewhere. And when it goes somewhere, depending on how it ends up, that's money laundering in its simplest form. We took approximately $10,000, just short of $10,000, out of that location, subsequent to those arrests. In the operation in Saugerties, we took a person, one of the people who arrived, for lack of a better term, I'll refer to him as her pimp. We took over an ounce of crack cocaine out of him. That crack cocaine was certainly destined, it originated somewhere, and it was certainly destined somewhere. Whether or not, in my opinion, whether or not that was specifically to residents of Ulster County is wholly irrelevant. It came from somewhere, it moved through this county, it was going to end up somewhere. And in addition to the enforcement operations, that's what we did. The principal endeavor with the Blue Moon was to utilize the prostitution arrests as a fulcrum to facilitate obtaining or fostering confidential informants who at that point would, in the hopes of working off their or working down their charges for prostitution offenses, would provide us more detailed and accurate information relative to the drug transactions that we had some vague information that was going on in that location.
So if I may, so you were planning on leveraging the prostitutional, for example, you've got one here for obscenity in December, I don't know if that's linked to it too, but you were utilizing that to then use them as informants? Is that what
that
I'm
was,
hearing?
And that was the principal goal.
Okay.
I mean, again, the acts they are committing in and of themselves are unlawful. in their own room.
I'm not disputing that. It's just more, why is urgent, you know, it became a whole thing where as we kind of go through all the various press releases of what urgent's doing, you know, it suddenly became this whole thing where it's like there's an obscenity charge, you know, in Kingston, you know, December 22nd.
That
you know,
was a
it's
a completely separate case. That was a completely unrelated separate case.
Okay, so.
That case, Mr. Brownlee, was, I was contacted by the Department of Homeland Security, who had been doing an active child porn investigation regarding him. He was distributing child pornography to a minor. And what happened in that case was the Northern District of New York had declined to move forward based on the particular circumstances of that case. Rather than not prosecute it at all, I was asked if we could investigate and execute an arrest and prosecute that case on a state level, which we absolutely can, and that is what we did at the behest of HSL. So that was completely separate and apart from the other sex enforcement operations. Further, one of the things I forgot to mention, another aspect that we look at and screen for when we did our operations in Highland, when we did our operations in East Sopus, not so much in New Paltz, but on a slightly modified way, is we will screen each of the people that we take into custody for indicators and admissions of human trafficking. That is certainly an issue that goes on that in my last 10 years in detectives is not something that has been on the forefront of our investigation radar. But that is something also we will do. I can tell you at this point, based on indicators that were or were not present, evidentiary indicators, and results of our interviews, I do not believe any of these particular people were trafficked or smuggled. Every indication we found was that they were both the Blue Moon dancers and the people in Highland and in Esopus were doing so voluntarily and had documentation accordingly and other, like I said, other indicators that would be contraindicative of being smuggled or trafficked. But that is something that we are very mindful of, and that when we encounter these women, we will screen them with those questions and then search for those indicators or non-indicators.
Any other questions?
Well, I have a question, but you don't know.
You're done?
For right now, yeah.
So I have a question. I had not before seen the informant's policy. That doesn't mean we haven't gotten it before, but I just haven't looked at it in detail. So in particular, I had some questions regarding the restricted use informants, juveniles. It says here that officers and detectives shall not request or utilize a juvenile, any person less than 16 years of age, as participating informant unless, and then it goes through, you know, well, extraordinary circumstances and parental or guardian's approval. So my first question is, does that mean that you can utilize someone who is 16 or 17 without parental approval? Since the exception is here, only says parental approval for 16, below 16.
Well, again, I mean, when you throw in the extraordinary circumstances, that pretty much is a coverall. What I can tell you is, well, let me back.
Extraordinary circumstances is only for someone under 16.
So let me back. Are you, do you have revision 614?
Is that correct? I have what you gave us.
So presumably we're working from the same version, but in any event, I can tell you that in the time that I was an urgent, and for that matter in the last 10 years in detective, we have not used as far as I'm aware, we have never used an actual confidential informant. And it is important to make the distinction that when you say confidential informant, that is a very specific term that has a very specific meaning. A person who provides information is not necessarily a confidential informant. An undercover is not necessarily a confidential informant. So, and I just to make that distinction, when we say confidential informant, although it might be in social settings, you know, colloquially used as a common term, it is not interchangeable with those other terms. So,
so maybe I misspoke. And this says informant policy. So,
right. And this tends to offer itself towards guiding the use of confidential informants. That's what this policy governs, the use of confidential informants, not somebody who may provide information from time, you know, a field interview or a street encounter. You come up to me in the Stewart's and you go, hey, Abe, you know, I heard this and this is going on. That may make you a source of information. That may even make you, it could even make you a quote-unquote informant, but you may not, you are not at that point a confidential informant.
But in that case, in that case where someone might come up to you in the Stewart's, you don't have to go through the policy of registering them and all. That's just a more...
No.
It's a source of information.
Right, that is a source of information. Essentially, to maybe make it a little simpler, essentially, as a practical matter, a confidential informant will be developed based on one of two things. Most commonly, they are a defendant in some criminal action and are looking to help themselves out, and do not want or cannot afford to have their identity be made known as a participating provider of information. The other somewhat less common example will be is if somebody has no criminal actions against them of any kind, but wants to work for money. They have information and they simply are willing to trade it for money. Before any money is exchanged, any information is paid for, that is the purpose of the registration and the documentation and the vetting. The vetting as best as possible of our informants, so that when we use them as the basis, as a basis of probable cause for search warrants, for arrest warrants, for grand jury proceedings, whatever the case may be, that is where that term confidential informant, because once you say confidential informant, that invokes a series of very specific legal definitions, a litany of case law that governs the tests that they have to pass to be considered reliable, and their the ability to use their information on its face without independent corroboration and so forth. So that is where the confidential informant.
And this policy does speak to a certain degree to that, just corroborated information. But what I'm concerned about is juveniles, whether or not you've ever used them. I mean, I see a document that you can use them if extraordinary circumstances exist. And the way I read the document, you can use someone who's 17 or 16 without parental consent, because this document says you can only use someone under 16 if an extraordinary circumstance exists and if you have parental consent, which would lead you to believe that whether you have or have not, that you can use someone who's 17 or 16 without parental consent. And that gives me great
questions.
I mean, you do very dangerous things.
Let me frame it in these terms. I completely understand your concern. So let me frame it in these terms. A person who is 16 or 17 is, by every account of the criminal procedure law and penal law, criminally liable for their conduct in the state of New York as an adult. Whether they should or shouldn't be, notwithstanding, that is current. Now, by the same token, a person under the age of 18 cannot enter into a legally binding agreement. So, for example, without some other attorney or some person acting as their agent on their behalf. So that would suggest to me, because we sign binding agreements with our confidential informants, that suggests to me that a person less than 18 would not be able to, absent some extraordinary circumstance that I cannot even conceive of, because I don't know if it's ever happened.
Right.
You were in for a long time. I don't know if it ever happened in your case.
Not my career.
However, but to your point, I would not suspect that we would be able to enter into an agreement with a 16 or 17 year old as a registered confidential informant without either their attorney involved or without some sort of parental consent.
Well, you made the distinction between confidential informant and informant. This policy only speaks to informant. So, I mean, I was reading it as confidential informant for the reasons you brought up, that just one leads to another. You know, I've seen the news. I'm not a officer of the law, and I'm not an attorney, but like I said, I am a parent, and I'm a citizen, and this gives me pause. I appreciate that you're saying you don't think you could, but the only thing that's restricted in this policy is someone less than 16 years of age. I'm trying to get legal feedback of what that means beyond this, but I also just have to say that even the extraordinary circumstances for allowing you to use someone less than 16 years, and I appreciate that you all deal in, like I said, in very dangerous circumstances with very bad people, for lack of another term. But I have great pause for utilizing a juvenile in that manner as a tool of law enforcement, particularly of a gang and drug arm of law enforcement. And then when there's this loophole due to potentially something outside of our control, like you say, you're criminally culpable, you're 17, you know, 16, but that's the way I'm reading it. So I'm not getting, I'm not comforted that a 17 or 16 year old isn't allowed to be used. That's what this says, is that they can.
Okay.
And unfortunately, there are situations where, unfortunately, they may, that 16 or 17 year old person might be the only person who has that information or that connection to the next link in the chain to get us to move our way up ultimately to people who are unquestionably adults and unquestionably doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Okay. So, Lieutenant, are you available tomorrow for me to kind of just... I have additional questions, but I also promise to not waste anybody on the committee's time. Is it possible to... Will you be in the office tomorrow, or are you...
I will.
Okay. Is there a good time to call?
Anytime between 8 and 4. Actually, let's make it anytime after 4 o'clock. Just kidding.
I don't love you that much.
Anytime between 8 and
4. All right. Well, it's one of these things where in each of these instances, I have additional questions, but I don't want to lengthen this meeting any further. So, okay.
Well, asking those questions, will that hinder you from voting this evening?
Insofar as that how I'm voting right now might change by the time I get to session.
Okay. All right,
Tracy. Also, I had asked through Vicky for just in this informant policy, it references a bunch of logs and documents. I just did ask if I could see them in a blank form.
This is, as I understood your email, this is a blank CI sign-up packet, which has some basic information. You will notice...
Do you want me to give it through you and you can make copies?
Can I?
Yeah.
There will be some documents that are not included there because they are person-specific, such as a criminal history, a DMV, abs, you know, printout. They're not in there because... put somebody's
right.
history in there to do that. So.
Yeah, I think basically what I wanted to see is anything where you had a form that you were filling out versus something that was
the
strictly personal, like pulling it from a computer.
I'll tell you from experience that tracking of confidential informants is not a task to be taken lightly. There is a great deal of when somebody comes and audits and looks. That's what they want to see, and if your CI files are not in order, that will lead to additional problems.
And you're talking about defense attorneys, et cetera, or at the point that it gets later down the road, or who would be auditing it?
Well, historically, last time it was audited.
I'm talking about financial.
Oh.
Well, no, I'm talking about the CI pack. When the FBI came,
and there was no issues.
Right. And if you got to have your stuff in order. Is that CI files? Is that part of accreditation as well?
I don't think so.
Yes, under
there are accreditation standards for maintaining agency accreditation regarding what has to be and what has to be in order and where they have to be kept and how they have to be kept. And again, I can tell you from experience whether it's the finance office or the comptroller's office comes looking at your money side, because a large amount of a good percentage of your money that is spent on informants in one capacity or another. So that has to be tight. That has to be meticulous. And when that's, and ours was just recently looked at and it was completely in order because not, you don't know me, but I'm particular in that way, and I'm not going to jail for anyone. So, the internal controls, the auditing controls are very strict, very specific, and very comprehensive regarding confidential foreign files and documentation of activity they've done. And the last thing I'll say on this, the agency itself has a selfish or a vested interest in making sure that documentation is very specific and very detailed, because the more activity that informant is involved in, that informant says, hey, there's going to be a bus at 3 o'clock here, and there's going to be a gun on it, and there's a bus and there's a gun on it, that establishes the veracity and the reliability of that confidential informant, and that only helps the agency itself in additional investigations down the road, because you can demonstrate if and when that informant or that CI's credibility is challenged, you have that documentation, you have that history of being able to show this person has been on the money, you know, each and every time.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yes.
How long do you keep the history for? Do you keep it?
The CI folder. Indefinitely. We have them since the task force started. I recently did, when I was transferring out, I went through and checked all that and made sure that was all in order. We have them back to 2007, and a few prior to that.
Very bad.
I have a question, and it may seem completely silly at this moment, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. Did something change with Urgent? Like, why are we acting like this is a startup program and we're asking 25 questions? I mean, it's been here, this is my 8th year. I think it's an amazing program. Anybody who even is in it, I think, is a little kooky. And I appreciate everything they do, because I live in Highland and I knew about the prostitution thing. And I don't want prostitution in Highland, and I'm sure Town of Lloyd can't do that by themselves, and they need additional help. Plus, when we had the nightclub thing in Highland, I mean, I could go on and on. Highland's lovely.
Yeah.
So why are we?
I think it's just something that came up in a caucus.
Okay, but what?
Because there's things that
knowledge. Please,
please
came
go
up in caucus, and so two of the people that were in caucus were charged to come to the committee to ask the questions.
No, but I'm just saying, did the contract change or something?
No, there's been no change.
As I said earlier, I've never seen
there's
the
no
informant
changes.
Policy.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying that we were never given it, but I have never seen it.
Oh, because it comes, right. I think, every time we do it, it's... Yeah. Okay, I thought I was in La La Land.
That's a movie.
Can we go on? Are we done?
Yeah, I'm going to ask that question. Are there any other questions?
Call me anytime you'd like.
You can call him before 4, though. Hector's got to call after 4.
That's right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
31. Let's do 31 real quick, and then we'll go to the next one. Requesting legislation granting Ulster County eligibility under Article 4, Title 2, Section 466F, blah, 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 blah. Oh, God.
Move it.
This is... it's discussion. It's the carrying on the tax
exemption,
county tax exemption, up to 10% for married and non-married spouses of volunteer firefighters or ambulance folks killed in the line of duty. So, any discussion?
Just because I'm sorry because I'm out of the loop, obviously, from the last question. It says financial impact, none, but there would be some.
I guess in the whole county, there's one person,
okay,
and they save $12 a year.
Okay.
Because everybody else, like myself, I take, in volunteer ambulance, I take the $200 New York State tax break.
Okay.
So there's only one person in the county that takes it, and it's $12.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
But they should write unknown instead of none.
It's kind of a little, but...
Who wrote this?
I'll talk to Craig.
We'll get back to them later.
Okay. Where's Don Quisnell?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Number 33, approving the execution of contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county.
Second.
Second discussion. Anybody have questions? Go ahead.
Thank you. So this was another one that that came up in caucus. Partly with regards to the quality of the food, and part of it was with regards to It's something that we used to do in-house, and so there were folks who were curious about that. And actually, I think we were actually waiting on some numbers, I believe, from Bert.
But I haven't seen them
either, and I think it's because Bert's been away. So I don't know who, Sheriff, wants to take this one on Aramac. Okay.
So what is it going to
be? Well, there was some real questions about the quality of the food, and there were some real questions about...
13 grievances since 96 on food, or 2007 since we moved in the jail.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have problems with food. We don't have inmates that complain about the food. We don't have that many issues with food.
Okay. And we talk about this every year, too, but I'm just saying...
It's something that has gone away.
And this is the people. Like, we've talked about even how nobody even comes close to...
Nope, not that price.
Okay.
And, you know, I couldn't come up with numbers of what
no,
we
I know. I know one year we talked but about
96
it.
96 last time we did it in the house?
Yeah, 96. But I did do some numbers. Golden Hill, 2012, when the county was running them, the food alone was $830,000. Now, I understand they have medical and other...
Yeah, things, I was going to say that that's a vastly different animal. But I know what you mean, but it's a vastly different animal.
Right.
Sorry, I used to work at Gold Pump. That's the only reason why I know. And they use a lot of food.
One of the big things, of course, is we don't have cook on staff. So, Aramark, that $1.89 mm-hmm. also counts for all their staff and everything else, and nobody would come close.
Right.
To the county would even come close to paying that premium.
Tracy.
How many staff do they have?
Four cooks and two servicemen. One of them is a county cook, and when she retires, it goes over to just like we did with the other.
Well, that lady's been there forever, hasn't she? Is that the lady's been there forever?
She's, once she retires, and yeah. I think she's soon, that'll go over to a Paramount.
That means she was working in 96 and she was.
Yep, we kept all the cooks on. We had Evelyn Chase also. She was cook. She retired. We went over to an Aramark cook. So that was an agreement.
Other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. 68, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement, Town of Ulster, use of the police firing range training
Move.
Facility.
Second.
Discussion? Any questions? This is a yearly thing.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? And 69, authorizing chairman of the Ulster County Legislature agreement, New York State Criminal Justice, aid to prosecution with the district attorney.
Move.
Second. All in favor? I'm sorry, any discussion? Sorry, I got ahead of myself. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Hector?
One last thing, Mr. Chairman, even though it's not on our agenda, but it is, I think, up this month. We've got some sheriff's vehicles, I believe, in that resolution that went through DPW. If memory serves, we got 5 cruisers, right, that are up for...
Yeah.
Okay. So I had asked Victoria at caucus, and Sheriff, I believe Victoria spoke to you about we wanted to go and...
Just remind me.
You're shaking your head no. She did not?
I haven't spoken to Victoria, no. But that's okay. We're ready.
No, that's something then for me to go discuss with Victoria.
Yeah, I know.
I don't remember.
Okay. So there were just some questions as to... You know, the condition of the vehicles, how many miles are on each one, and then, of course, this is the generic question we always have about the replacement policy, okay? So, you know, we're doing 5 this year. What's anticipated for next year and the year after and the year after, so?
Yeah, I can speak to that.
Okay.
We have, every year since 07, when I became captain, we got 5 marked units on our replacement policy. That hasn't changed. I have some handouts of our 10 top mileage vehicles. So every year, the 5 get retired and we get 5 new ones. I mean, that's why we get 5 cruisers, because there's 5 high mileage vehicles. As you can see, there's 153,000. And our once a vehicle reaches 130,000, anything major happens, it doesn't get replaced, doesn't get fixed. It's just not worth fixing at that point.
And this is the same routine every year?
Yeah, we've been asking for 5 marked units. I was involved in the purchasing process back in 2007.
Tracy.
How many marked units are there total?
38.
No, I'm not going to
throw that specific number, but You know, since I became under sheriff, I kind of got, that's not something I oversee directly. Mm-hmm. You know, the captain does that. So last I knew there was 38 marked vehicles.
Okay, other questions? All right. Very good. Paul, we have your report, year-end report. Yeah, and January's is on the back. Very good use of paper. You'll never work. Wow. You won't work here long.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
I told her.
Okay, yeah, numbers are still down. And you can always hope the pods don't work in Dutchess County, right? Do you have anything else, Paul, other than that? Okay. Old business, anybody?
No, I just wanted to say that I did ask about Lieutenant Benjamin, and they said he's going to come back this week. Tell him you said hello.
Under new business, in your packet is some information from DA Holly Carnwright. Mm-hmm. He'll speak on that in the March meeting. So, anybody have anything? Two things before we adjourn. One, I want to just mention the passing of K-9 Officer Jimmy Slinsky's mom. And so I apologize. I meant to open the meeting in her memory, so I will close it in her memory. You know, I know Jimmy a long time. I worked at Elmwood PD with his pop, and a good guy. So whole family in our thoughts and prayers. Also, just on a personal note, again, I will say that the job you guys do, being a member of the First Aid Squad in Ellenville, the other day we had, you know, an ambulance call, an officer, veteran officer, Sergeant Lutz, I apologize, were of great assistance. I try to convince them to take applications, but those guys won't do it. But, I mean, you know, they help out carrying the cot, lifting, anything we need them to do, so... whoever their supervisor might be, just pass that along. They do a hell of a job, and they certainly make our job a lot easier, especially daytime when we're running short on crews and things. So I'm much obliged to their help and their professionalism at all times. So, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you, everybody.